Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Well, as the theme has been going for a while, and I suppose it is in all your Course in Miracles studies, you're challenged to come up with more power, the power of decision-making or the power of mind than you're accustomed to. What do I mean? I mean that the Course in Miracles is calling you to access a power of mind that you have that affects the invisible. The invisible. The world is teaching you more and more how to exercise your power with the visible, the things you can touch and see and so forth. But all this visible stuff that you've experienced throughout your life, where is it now? In common is, of course, you throughout your entire life. And that's kind of a clue of why maybe you chose a spiritual journey, because you found that there was something, some energy that was, well, not you, not your body, not what you're accustomed to. Can you affect that? See, do you have the power to affect that context? Then that's a question. That's something you have to really explore. It's one of the things you do and you gain in a spiritual awakening, is that there is a power in you. There is an experience in you that is beyond the body. There is an identity that is you, that does not have your name. The world does not discuss such things. The world can only prove.
Recorded.
The world can only prove and can only charge you for, and you can pay for, the things visible. So we're working on this, accessing this immediate power in you. That's the good news. That the power I'm talking about, when you access it, it's immediate. It isn't something you have to wait to see what happens. Isn't that great? This is a payoff of your spiritual awakening, is that you don't have to wait. See, spiritual awakenings always come in an interval without time. Isn't that great? How consistent. You remember, I also want you to remember always, 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 the truth, whatever that is not experienced in time. Can't be. Not the truth that you're pursuing with your spiritual awakening. The material truths can all be tested by time, but they're valueless. The spiritual truth, what's spiritual truths? Something that's qualified by eternity. What's a spiritual truth? The spiritual truth would be a perspective that holds all things equally. This is not tested by time. This is not tested by space. You see, it is a different way of thinking. This is what you awaken to. You awaken from the small incompetition, vulnerable self. So, just to get us warmed up, let's take a few minutes and listen to this piece of A Course in Miracles that I recorded many years ago. I'm just going to read you Lesson 200. Ooh. Here it is. Let's see if it just starts rolling. Oh, you won't be able to hear it though. You can probably barely hear that, huh? Stand by. Let's go here and here and here. Click, click, click. And now you'll be able to hear it. Okay. In fact, this will be one step better. This will be no distraction. Okay. Now you'll be able to hear it. So, by the way, anybody, I recorded the entire book. Entire Course in Miracles is available to you on my website. Okay, here we go. This is, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes. 6 minutes.
Lesson 200. There is no peace except the peace of
God. Seek you no further. You will not find peace except the peace of God. Accept this fact and save yourself the agony of yet more bitter disappointments, bleak despair, and sense of icy hopelessness and doubt. Seek you no further. There is nothing else for you to find except the peace of God. Unless you seek for misery and pain. This is the final point to which each one must come at last, to lay aside all hope of finding happiness where there is none, of being saved by what can only hurt, of making peace of chaos, joy of pain, and heaven out of hell. Attempt no more to win through losing, nor to die to live. You cannot but be asking for defeat. Yet you can ask as easily for love, for happiness, and for eternal life, in peace that has no ending. Ask for this, and you can only win. To ask for what you have already must succeed. To ask that what is false be true can only fail. Forgive yourself for vain imaginings, and seek no longer what you cannot find. For what could be more foolish than to seek and seek and seek again for hell, when you have but to look with open eyes to find that heaven lies before you through a door that opens easily to welcome you. Come home. You have not found your happiness in foreign places and in alien forms that have no meaning to you, though you sought to make them meaningful. This world is not where you belong. You are a stranger here. But it is given you to find the means whereby the world no longer seems to be a prison house or jail for anyone. Freedom is given you where you beheld but chains and iron doors. But you must change your mind about the purpose of the world if you would find escape. You will be bound till all the world is seen by you as blessed, and everyone made free of your mistakes, and honored as he is. You made him not, no more yourself. And as you free the one, the other is accepted as he is. What does forgiveness do? In truth, it has no function, and does nothing. For forgiveness is unknown in heaven. It is only hell where it is needed, and where it must serve a mighty function. Is not the escape of God's beloved Son from evil dreams that he imagines, it believes are true, a worthy purpose? Who could hope for more while there appears to be a choice to make between success and failure, love and fear? There is no peace except the peace of God, because he has one Son who cannot make a world in opposition to God's will and to his own, which is the same as his. What could he hope for to find in such a world? It cannot have reality, because it never was created. Is it here that he would seek for peace, or must he see that, as he looks on it, the world can but deceive? Yet can he learn to look on it another way and find the peace of God? Peace is the bridge that everyone will cross to leave this world behind. But peace begins within the world perceived as different, and leading from this fresh perception to the gate of heaven and the way beyond. Peace is the answer to conflicting goals, to senseless journeys, frantic, vain pursuits, and meaningless endeavors. Now the way is easy, sloping gently toward the bridge where freedom lies, within the peace of God. Let us not lose our way again today. We go to heaven, and the path is straight. Only if we attempt to wander can there be delay and needless wasted time on thorny byways. God alone is sure, and He will guide our footsteps. He will not desert His Son in need, nor let Him stray forever from His home. The Father calls, the Son will hear. And that is all there is to what appears to be a world apart from God, where bodies have reality. Now is there silence. Seek no further. You have come to where the road is carpeted with leaves of false desires, fallen from the trees of hopelessness you sought before. Now are they underfoot, and you look up and on toward heaven with the body's eyes but serving for an instant longer now. Peace is already recognized at last, and you can feel its soft embrace around your heart and mind with comfort and with love. Today, we seek no idols. Peace cannot be found in them. The peace of God is ours, and only this will we accept and want. Peace be to us today, for we have found a simple, happy way to leave the world of ambiguity and to replace our shifting goals and solitary dreams with single purpose and companionship. For peace is union, if it be of God. We seek no further. We are close to home and draw still nearer every time we say, there is no peace except the peace of God. And I am glad and thankful it is so.
So there is an alternate reality, the peace of God versus the peace of the ego, peace of time and space. You're on a spiritual journey, so you're doing something rather unnatural for the world, something unusual, natural for the world, something even strange for the world to do, that you would choose the peace of the invisible. See? The world says, no, the peace of the visible is where your happiness will be. Buy a Tesla, then get solar panels, then celebrate how green you are. I mean, there's an argument for all that. It isn't the peace of God. It does not reach anywhere near that goal to which you go on your spiritual journey. You're obviously all called. Nobody can read this book who isn't. This book draws you. You're on your way. And all these many other paths as well, but this is just an example, Course in Miracles says. So, let's dig in to have Jesus help us try to awaken this alternate reality where you would recognize your spiritual self. This alternate reality, it requires a, you know, last week we talked about this awakening of a new emotion. If you were here last week, when you have a holy instant, when when you've had a miracle that changed your mind, and then you followed it with forgiveness, which would let go of the thoughts that you stumbled on, miracle allowed you or let you afford to let go of stinking thinking with forgiveness, and then you recognize you are free by your own mind, by your own change of mind. You recognize you were, that's a holy instant. Miracle, then forgiveness, then holy instant. When once you have done that, you discover an empowerment, an awakening of your true self. It is invisible. It is not worried about loss or even death. My God, what could not be worried about death, you start to ask, but you know it's true. And so I come up with, last week it popped in my head, that this is actually a new emotion that you don't feel when you're ego bound. It's a new emotion. It is a sense of largeness and freedom and belongingness. This is the new emotion. I know it is far beyond anything that the world has ever offered. It's so different. So different. So let's take a look and have Jesus coach us through this interesting awakening. Tim, when you're ready, I'm going to get your mute while you turn to page 463. Everybody, pull 463 in the text.
What paragraph?
We're gonna have you read all of paragraph 5, which was our reading last week. But boy, you don't want to miss it. That's going to set us up for paragraph 6, which is tonight's work.
This is the first. Let's see, paragraph.
So you'll be on 4. You'll be on 462 at the bottom of the page.
Bottom line. Got it.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yet hate must have a target. There can be no faith in sin without an enemy. Who that believes in sin would dare believe he has no enemy? Could he admit that no one made him powerless? Reason would surely bid him seek no longer what is not there to find. Yet first, he must be willing to perceive a world where it is not. It is not necessary that he understands how he can see it, nor should he try. For if he focuses on what he cannot understand, he will but emphasize his helplessness and let sin tell him that his enemy must be himself. But let him only ask himself these questions, which he must decide to have it done for him. Do I desire a world I rule instead of one that rules me? Do I desire a world where I am powerful instead of helpless? Do I desire a world in which I have no enemies and cannot sin? Last but not least, and do I want to see what I deny because it is the truth? Yeah, that's it.
I got my earbuds.
That is awesome.
No, it's the screen behind.
Okay, now this is it. We now that we have been here, we can refer to this as we continue to work A Course in Miracles, continuing the workbook. Is kind of handy for a little wake-up call. But let's, before we go to paragraph 6, let's grab a few more meaty references to this kind of thinking Jesus has for us. Keep your finger here. We're going to come right back, and we'll have Tim read it for us also on page 125 in the text. It's 125. It's a meaty little sentence buried in paragraph 8. Which is an amazing paragraph. And what I'm after is sentence 9. We'll see if it makes enough sense if we have to do the whole paragraph. But try sentence 9 for us.
Paragraph 9?
This is paragraph 8, sentence 9, the end of paragraph 8.
Got it. Okay, just the one sentence?
Yes, and you can actually finish that paragraph, that sentence through the end.
If they cannot coexist in peace, and if you want peace, you must give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time.
Now that's really the punch. Just take a moment. Give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time.
This requires vigilance only as long as you do not recognize what's true. While you believe that two totally contradictory thought systems share truth, your need for vigilance is apparent.
Right? You got to work it as long as they're both competing for your attention. As long as attack and anger and fighting has benefit to you. In other words, you think it will actually get you what you want, what you really want.
Yeah.
Then you're going to have vigilance to be able to get away from the ego pattern. Imagine you would give up the idea of conflict for all time. It doesn't mean you're a doormat. It just means you now look at it with an open mind. You have difficulties in this life? Sure. You have an unfair tax bill or somebody backed into your car, put a dent in it. And you got to figure out, you got to use the world's methods to get that straightened out. Can you do it without conflict? Aha.
Well, heaven exists independently of anybody or anything. It exists without contradiction. It's all powerful. There's nothing that stands against it.
And as it turns out, heaven is not a place, right?
Right. To think that there is evidence of mistaken thinking on the issue.
Yes, and trying to get into a world where heaven is not. You see, heaven's not a place.
Right.
It isn't some other time, when you will arrive in your current form in heaven. No. Heaven is understanding. Heaven is understanding. Isn't that better than going someplace where you're safe from the dangerous world? Isn't that better? Where heaven would be understanding, which would make you completely free to understand the truth, even though you may come across things that seem to be false. To know the truth sets you free. For example, if Deborah starts arguing with us, everybody, that the world has got math wrong, that 2 + 3 = 8, and she can prove it. You're like, well, okay, Deborah, well, we love you, and so you can talk about this. But I understand, all of us understand basic math enough to not be threatened by this falsity. 2 + 3 = 8. You see how it sets you free when you're so certain. This is what it means to know the truth. This is what understanding means. Understanding is not memorizing. That's not the same. That's why I say it's a whole new emotion that comes with your spiritual awakening. It's such a certainty that the world can't afford. And so for you to give up the idea of conflict, that's a whole different way to approach problems, huh? No doubt. But it's free. You're still just as powerful. You'd be just as clever as you like. It just won't be with fear and attack. You can still use lawyers, and you can still use picture evidence and get witnesses to help support you to get your way in the world. you do it without conflict. See, this is what it means to master freedom. Even here, even in the world. But of course, we're not talking about the world. That's not the goal of A Course in Miracles. It sure helps. And yes, you indeed, you can live a much better life. I have lived a much better life by taking things like judgment and attack and guilt out of, I have. But I've also learned that it's A Course in Miracles is going way beyond just how to live a better life. It's really understanding. Your eyes continue to open to a bigger and bigger picture of what's going on. And it's just fantastic. Many of you know this, that there's more going on than what the songs and the movies and your parents ever told you about. It's wonderful. However, things like conflict would be a block to the awareness of love's presence. We remove blocks and then we have love. That's the idea. Tim, continue to read that.
So paragraph 9, same
page. Just read that same one again for us. Read paragraph 8, sentence 9, and finish the paragraph.
Okay. If they cannot coexist in peace, and if you want peace, you must give up the idea of conflict entirely and for all time. This requires vigilance. Only as long as you do not recognize what is true. While you believe that two totally contradictory thought systems share truth, your need for vigilance is apparent.
Yes. And then he goes on to explain that further and further, but that's what we came here for, is this idea that the Course is inviting you and giving you some confidence that you could live without conflict. It seems impossible in this world, doesn't it? Unless you recognize how powerful is your mind and how much you want peace. Like the martial artists that you've heard that there's types of martial arts where rather than, you know, kick first, they wait for the opponent to throw a punch, and then you study how the punch is coming. And you just step aside and then push in the direction the punch was going, and then the person follows their punch right off their feet. Aikido. I learned this, and it was so interesting. It was the goal. It's not to oppose, but to continue the motion that was put in motion without harm. And you could actually defeat the opponent because they couldn't actually hit you. And that was the statement made about these Aikido masters, is, you know, you get these exhibitions where a Taekwondo guy or some other guy will go against the Aikido. And he says, it was like he wasn't there. I couldn't hit him. I just somehow just missed every time. Managing choose be in a fight, for crying out loud, without conflict. Yes. Okay. Let's just read one more sentence from another section that might help us here. Everybody go to page 402 and just look at, this is another, oh, I guess metaphysics, you might say, or a basic Course in Miracles teaching, a course principle even, that it has to become second nature one day. You go, oh, yeah, I know that. Look at 402, paragraph 1, and sentence 4. Remember, sin is separation, right? Duality. In A Course in Miracles, it shortens it to sin. It just means you think there's more than one. And it's real. So, paragraph 1, sentence 4 says, the belief in sin is necessarily based on the firm conviction that minds, not bodies, can attack.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you read that contra, how would you say that? Contra positive? You would say that bodies attack, not minds. It's the belief in bodies. It's the belief that there's something to attack and to receive the attack and then suffer from the attack that was successful. That holds separation together. Do you see? We're talking about actually moving your identity out away from a body. Your reality. You can still dream about the body and take care of it for as long as you live. But there has to be born in you a little touch of eternity. A little spiritual identity has to be born in you that gives you the comfort you've been seeking. This is very, very essential to taking the step that will set you free and allow you to go beyond your body. Is that sentence like this starts to make sense to you? It isn't minds. It's only the belief in bodies that can attack. Ha! Ha! And let me remind you that thoughts like that need to be taken into meditation so that you can use your own terms at your own pace with your own Holy Spirit and find comfort. This is how you purify your mind. Sentence by sentence, step by step, the course is loaded with them. But I think when you read that sentence, you take a little step, don't you? You kind of go, wait, did I get that right? Minds attack, not bought. What? Reread it, right? This is the kind of time when you take it and drink it in. Give it some faith that it's true. What it's written on the page is true. There aren't any typos or anything. And then take it with you into meditation one day. Now I'm old enough to nap every day. I take sentences like that with me into my naps. I take 18-minute power naps. It's just right to have the Holy Spirit come counsel me on the essential truth of something like this. This is what it means to purify your mind. That's, is it Miracle Principle 7? Look at Miracle Principle 7 real quick. Front of the book. Page 3. You know, this is a Course in Miracles, right? It's class. You got to do stuff. Jacqueline, would you read for us Miracle Principle 7? I got your mute.
All right. Miracles are everyone's right, but purification is necessary first.
Is that it? Is that all we get? That's the whole thing? Yep. You know, like it or not, right? That's why I love this book. It's like, whoa, this is clear. This isn't flowery spirituality that says you're perfect just the way you are. You don't need to change anything. God loves you. I love you. You are love and everything is fine. It's not that, is it? Because I know everything's not fine in the hands of my ego. It worries about other people. My ego worries about other people. And the Course says, look, when you worry about other people, you're teaching yourself that you too are vulnerable as well as them. You're teaching vulnerability is real. And where there is no sin and all is one and all comes from love. All, not some, all comes from love. There's nothing to worry about. What are you worried about? This is what Course teaches. You need a miracle to be able to leave the worry. But that's waiting for you. But it's part of your mind purification. So miracles are your right because you are of truth. You came from truth. You remain in truth. You're dreaming of exile from truth. So you actually can't leave the truth. That's why miracles are your right. Miracles deal with faults. Miracles deal with the faults. They only deal with the faults. You have no falsity. You have no miracle. Right? They are your right to take the faults and bring it to the truth and have it dissolved instantly by the power of the truth. And that takes us to tonight's reading. Okay. One day we should look at that more. I had lots of examples where the Course kind of talks about purifying your mind. But I think you guys got it. Look at page 463, what Tim just read for us. He finished up with this interesting sentence. The first three questions, do I desire a world where I rule instead of one that rules me? Yeah, I honestly do. I don't want to be ruled by something outside of me. Do I desire a world where I am powerful instead of helpless? Well, yeah, if I'm going to be in a world, I would like to have some power and be able to navigate happily. Do I desire a world in which I have no enemies and cannot sin? Oh, yes. I don't want to be waiting for people to jump out of the shadows to come get me for something that I did wrong and have to pay for and then suffer the consequences of being separate. Oh, no, 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 no. That would be nice. Easy, softball. Now, and do I want to see what I denied? Because it is the truth.
Thank you.
Are you after the truth, no matter what the consequences may be? Is the truth more important to you than your ideas of feeling good or making it in the world? This is asking a path question. How would you know that you're on the right path? And that is because more of the truth gets revealed. Your understanding goes up. Remember, understanding is universal. Understanding, the kind of understanding we're talking about here is universal, and it leads to peace every time. Peace follows understanding. It's the healing process, the real healing of your mind. Yes, the body follows sometimes, but we're talking about the real healing here. It follows from understanding, then instantly you go into peace. Yeah. Okay, you ready? Jacqueline, why don't you read for us also, I got your mute, paragraph 6.
Okay. You may already have answered the first three questions, but not yet the last. For this one still seems fearful and unlike the others. Yet reason would assure you they are all the same. We said this year would emphasize the sameness of things that are the same. This final question, which is indeed the last one you need to decide, still seems to hold a threat the rest have lost for you. And this imagined difference attests to your belief that truth may be the enemy you yet may find. Here, then, would seem to be the last remaining hope of finding sin and not accepting power.
Not accepting the power that would set you free. It's so hard to believe that that power is in you. When you tend to make your own life difficult every day, it's such good news that the problem and the solution are in the same place. You know, hold your finger here. Let's look at one more paragraph from earlier in the text. Kenny, you want to read a extemporaneous paragraph that you've never seen before? Okay, I had to ask. Okay, Albert, you got to get your mute. Albert, when you get your mute off, go to page 398 and read for us paragraph 1 in chapter 19, The Attainment of Peace. This is healing and faith. What a pair.
What do you want me to read?
Paragraph numero uno on page 398 in the text. The whole paragraph.
We said before that when a situation has been dedicated wholly to truth, peace is inevitable. Its attainment is the criterion by which the wholeness of the dedication can be safely assumed. Yet, We also said that peace without faith will never be attained. For what is dedicated to truth as his only goal is brought to truth by faith. This faith encompasses everyone involved, for only thus the situation is perceived as meaningful and as a whole. And everyone must be involved in it. Or else your faith is limited and your dedication incomplete.
In other words, it's an all or nothing game. It does make it simpler. Yes, Luann.
I'm in the middle of Albert's reading. I started hearing a echo.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was kind of cool, actually, because everything he was saying was so important.
Okay, so it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah. All right. I'll see if I can knock the echo out.
Thank you.
Is it gone yet?
Yes.
Okay, I found it. Okay, very good. Okay. When look at that paragraph again, please, that he just read. When we said before that a situation has been dedicated wholly to truth, peace is inevitable. Nice. That's what we all came for. The attainment of peace is the criterion by which the wholeness of the dedication can be safely assumed. In other words, peace is your measure. Peace is your guide. If you're not peaceful, it's evidence that you're following your ego. Like the Aikido master, he can be in a fight where the guy is trying to land a punch on his head. But he knows that if he stays calm, he can see the fist being thrown before it arrives. He has learned to be guided by peace for a peaceful outcome. It's very different from the anger and the attack and the high energy of otherwise attacking martial arts, for example. So peace has this power and ability to slow time down.
I just make a comment.
Yeah.
When I was getting my doctorate, the first 2 years you were required to take Aikido.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took it for 3 years, but the first two you had to.
How about that?
Yeah. That's because the guy who started the program was a sixth degree Aikido teacher, and he thought everybody ought to know about.
He really believed in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Beautiful. Okay.
But it's also true with your words.
Yes. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Let's look at...
While you're looking, I want to say I've been studying the idea of faith constantly for the last 2 weeks because I realized that's what I have got to obtain all the time.
Nice. Yeah, you know, in order to leave behind the shortcuts of the ego, you do need faith. You're very practiced and accustomed to using things like anger and attack and rising to, you know, rising up in energy to solve your problems. But to be peaceful, that requires some courage and some faith. And then suddenly it's easy. But all because you stopped the cycle of the ego. You stopped even the judgment that you thought was necessary.
Yeah.
And then the innocence starts to show up that you would have been blind to before in the person you thought you were in a fight with. The innocence shows up. And then with innocence, of course, comes some compassion. And then you no longer dance anger or hate or worry. You're still there. You're still in the conversation, but it's no longer an argument. And then their energy goes down because you're not responding with attack or defense. And that de-escalation can turn into a very loving conversation. This is how holy relationships come from special relationships. But it takes faith. Faith that peace will work. Yeah. Peace is the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. It's a required beginning, though. Okay, good. All right. So let's drop all that. And let's go make sure that we got paragraph 6 down. Go to page 463. 463. And you may already have answered the first three questions. They're softballs, but not yet the last. Okay. This going, admitting that you've been indeed denying the bigger picture. For this one, this last one, still seems fearful and unlike the others, indeed. The reason, yet reason, which is like honesty or clarity, truth, right thinking, reason, would assure you that they're all the same. In other words, if you want to where you're in control, you're actually no enemies and you're powerful. If you really do want that, then you would have to stop denying the truth of what you are. Let me say it this way. When you continue to dream that you are a body, you will continue to have chaos and victimhood. So somehow, some way, you must find a way to stop identifying with your body. Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Yeah. It takes a certain dedication, like what Luann was talking about. It's a glad dedication once you begin, because the payoff is instantaneous. You get better meditations, the Holy Spirit, you can hear the Holy Spirit better. You start to want to have faith in peace when once you learn how powerful it is. Hold your finger here, and let's go look at another odd paragraph we haven't seen in a long time. Go to page 66. Go to page 66 in the front of the book and look at paragraph 6. This is one of those pages that has a couple of quotes that you'll recognize across all your Course in Miracles pundits. Will eventually end up referencing this paragraph. Let's read it. It's time for us to read it because of our study tonight. And so we're up to Dawn. You're ready to go. Would you read for us paragraph 6 on page 66?
Yes. The ego thinks it is an advantage not to commit itself to anything that is eternal, because the eternal must come from God. Eternalness is the one function of the ego, is the one function the ego has tried to develop, but has systematically failed to achieve. The ego compromises with the issue of the eternal, just as it does with all issues touching on the real question in any way. By becoming involved with tangential issues, it hopes to hide the real question and keep it out of mind. The ego's characteristic busyness with non-essentials is for precisely that purpose. Preoccupations with problems set up to be incapable of solution are favorite ego devices for impeding learning progress. In all these diversionary tactics, however, the one question that is never asked by those who pursue them is, what for? This is a question that you must learn to ask in connection with everything. What is the purpose? Whatever it is, it will direct your efforts automatically. When you make a decision of purpose, then you have made a decision about your future effort, a decision that will remain in effect unless you change your mind.
Well, how about that for practicality? This is an instruction that has just landed on you. Now, when you're trying to sort out what's going on with this argument or this relationship, or maybe this worry that you have about something you did or said in the past, even that you privately worry about when you wake up in the morning, you know, or maybe it's about what somebody said to you and you don't understand and your ego's thinking the worst. Or maybe it's about your heart is burdened because somebody down the street needs help and you're not sure if it's your place to help them. All sorts of things, right? Anything. But you don't know what to do. You're not sure if it's right. Jesus is saying, look, get practical. Why don't you ask me to help you? Ask what for? What is this for? And try to get away from your ego and try to see the motivations that are actually driving what your eyes and your ears are witnessing. Remember, Miracle Principle 7, we just read, miracles are everyone's right. So that means shifts in perception from darkness to light, that's a miracle, are everyone's right, but, record scratch, purification is necessary first. And asking the question of, like, what for? So maybe your wife or your husband just said something rude to you, dismissing all of your loyalty. And you have to step back rather than have a reaction or a defense. You say, wait a minute, what is that for? And have your Holy Spirit help you. Your ego counsels you. It's going to be some unfair and you'll need some attack and some defense will have to happen. But your Holy Spirit can take that rude thing that they said to you and actually open your heart and open this eye. And some healing can occur. Even in an ugly situation. This is what it means to leave the ego behind and ask the Holy Spirit to help you sort out things so that you can have awakening even here. That means that you be asking to see what you've denied because what you have denied, the truth behind what they said, is the truth. For example, everybody is seeking happiness. It's one of the things I've sorted out through asking what's for. You know, what could this possibly be for? And then I would trace down all the elements involved and everything is trying to seek happiness in its own way. I was burgled once and thousands of dollars of stuff. They kicked my door open and came in and took my brand new phone, was still in the box and computers and the whole bit. But you know, just asking, what is this for? And I could see that whoever came in here and stole all this stuff, and they tried to find medicines in the cabinet that they could sell on the street for $100 a pill if they could. They looked under between my mattresses trying to find whatever I hid there, my precious things I might have hidden there. What's that for? That's so they can get the money to spend and get a night's sleep or pay for their kid to get out of jail. Who knows? For some drugs so they can have a good night. Who knows? But it was all for happiness, what they thought would bring them happiness. That's why they stole my stuff. It was clearly why they stole my stuff. I did not have an argument with that. They're driven. They are actually driven for their happiness, even though they may have been carrying a weapon to do it. Then, no, I wasn't here. I'm okay with that, too.
When you first started saying the what for, I was thinking, what are arguments for? If I won, what difference would it make? And if I lost, what difference would it make?
Yeah.
Either way, I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, you would lose. That's lesson 23. I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. Very good, Luann. Very good. Okay. Back to page 463. You may have already answered for so forth, you know, but the last one's a little different. We said, if this is now a sentence four, we said this year would emphasize the sameness of things that are the same. He says that a couple of times. This final question, which is indeed the last that you need to decide, still you need to decide, the last that you need to decide. See, once you start pursuing the truth as your primary goal, then peace and the Holy Spirit will make decisions with you and for you. When you stop attacking in order to get ahead, in order to have more love in your life, you stop hating. See, hate needs a specific target, and you start to learn that there aren't any specific targets that deserve your hate, or that hate would even work. And then hate just goes away. Wow! Holy cannoli. But that opens your mind now so that you can be more loving in what otherwise would be hateful situations. It's just a different way of living. Course in Miracles helps you do that with these workbook lessons. It just gets you away from the anger and from the hate. Huge benefits come. Because now you're looking for the truth, and you no longer have to make decisions because you're addicted now to your Holy Spirit. You were following your unholy spirit, that's the ego, and you get addicted to your Holy Spirit. Why are you addicted? Because every time you use it, you get more peace, and you want more and more peace. Peace is your guide. You have a new addiction. It's peace, which leads now to your capacity to love. And you go home. Okay. All right. Now, let's pick up paragraph 7. Deborah, would you read paragraph 7 for us? I got your mute.
Forget not that the choice of sin or truth, helplessness or power, is the choice of whether to attack or heal. For healing comes of power, an attack of helplessness. Whom you attack, you cannot want to heal. And whom you would have healed must be the one you chose to be protected from the attack. And what is this decision but the choice whether to see him through the body's eyes or let him be revealed to you through vision? How this decision leads to its effects is not your problem, but what you want to see must be your choice. This is a course in cause and not effect.
Okay, we're going to have to do some work on this one. Hang on just a second. Okay. This particular paragraph is another practical lesson that you can use to catch your ego. Give me just a second. Okay. Forget not that the choice of sin or truth, helplessness or power, equating sin with helplessness and truth with power. Forget not that the choice of sin or truth, helplessness or power, is a choice whether, and now he puts it down in real ego words, attack. The choice to attack or to heal. This is the coin. So of course everybody here says, I want to heal and I don't want to attack anymore. I remember already lesson 23, I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. Practiced it all day a few times, you say. And I really felt empowered by the freedom I had from not attacking and trusting attack anymore. But here we have the coin of attack versus healing. Attack versus healing. Attack takes some things apart. Healing puts things back together. Attack separates, takes things out of order, and healing puts things back in order. Now watch how this unfolds. For healing comes of power, an attack of helplessness. Whom you attack, you cannot want to heal. Obvious, yeah. And whom you would have healed must be the one you chose to be protected from attack. Good. I like it. Sounds good, right? Everybody's sort of feeling good about this healing thing? I hope so. Mm-hmm. There's a fish hook coming here that you're going to have to swallow. That's why he's buttering you up. And what is this decision but the choice whether to see him, your brother, through the body's eyes or let him be revealed to you through vision? Well, we are in a spiritual path, aren't we? So we want to see everything through vision. We want to use holiness and not unholiness to see everything. That's pretty fair, isn't it? I think that should be your vigilance, right? To no longer see with the ego guiding and judgment trying to protect you and hate trying to protect you. You know, right? You're in. I know you're in. Yeah. Look what comes next. How this decision leads to its effects is not your problem. The effects of a healing versus attack, okay? But, record scratch, whenever you see the word but, you can forget everything you were just reading because here comes the real hammer. But, what you want to see must be your choice. Once again, nothing is coming to save you. That's why A Course in Miracles is such a rich gift in our lives. It helps us do and say hour by hour practical things that will guide us to our own healing of our mind. This is the real healing, is your mind. But it must be your choice because of what you are. Because of what you are a creator moment by moment. You are the extension of God in absolute terms. So you are as powerful as whatever you think God is, the most powerful example of God you can think of. You are actually that. And until you decide to use your creative power for love and peace and joining and reinventing new colors, you're going to be continuing to live in the chaos that is this world. It has its purpose too, which is revealed to you. But right now, you've managed to get yourself, painted yourself into a dark corner where love is blocked on purpose. And until you decide to stop painting yourself deeper into the darkness, you will continue to find darkness. Because of what you are, you will continue to find darkness. Of course. You are not limited. You are not limited. The Course says that there is one limit only on you. Only one. You cannot stop being what you are. This is your limit. Be glad. It calls you the Son of God. It calls you God's joy. This is what you actually are. You can't stop being that. You can deny it. That's what we're working on tonight, is for you to stop your denial. But that denial is active, and you are powerful enough, because you're so powerful, to actually block love. Really? Yeah. You've been doing it quite nicely. But I hope you're getting tired of it, and I hope you're seeking for the light once again. You'll be whisked home. Now, ready? It says sentence 7. Sundari, we're on page 463, and we're on paragraph 7. We're just finishing it up to getting to the punchline that has some teeth in it for the practical living human who wants to have spiritual freedom, even in a body. Let me show you the teeth in this paragraph. Starts with the word but on paragraph 7. I mean sentence 7. But what you want to see must be your choice. This is a course in cause and not effect. For example, if you find yourself swearing in your daily life, and you grind your teeth and you say, ah, fuck. This is verbal violence. It's a little transgression, right? You'd rather not say that all the time. But you do follow it, see? When you swear, since you don't swear in church or you don't swear at a funeral and you haven't sworn in a wedding at a wedding in a long time, I hope, you are in control of your swearing, right? Because swearing is ugly, right? Or it's lower class than what you were raised, right? Or children shouldn't hear you swear. Is that right? Everybody believes that. But in your mind or in your private time, you swear like a sailor. Some of you. And this is attack, isn't it? Isn't swearing angry? Isn't it? Isn't swearing kind of a choice to attack, isn't it? You are so much more cruel to yourself in your mind than you would ever be out loud to somebody else, most likely. This paragraph is calling you out to make your choices. Now, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be a saint. You do have to be a sage. What's the difference? A sage knows, has wisdom. A saint actually performs the wisdom. You don't have to be a saint. You should try, of course. But you really should be seeking understanding of what's going on, of asking, what is this for? So if you swear, stop and say, what was that for? It's okay if you swear. I just want you to take some of the energy out of it because the ego loves when you swear, private or public, out loud or in silence, doesn't matter. Ego loves it. It's violent. It is self-attack, or it is privately outward attacking so that nobody can hear. Whatever it is, it's an attack, isn't it? Otherwise, you wouldn't feel a need to swear if you weren't afraid of losing something or that you're afraid you've lost something somehow. That's why you swore. You see how ego that is? It's celebrating the loss. Grieving the loss is celebrating the loss. This is something that you can do with yourself and your Holy Spirit the next time you swear, if you choose. It is a chance to help you pick up your vigilance and have more peace in your life. Because when you swear, it's verbal form of violence. And it's an attack, either inward or outward. It's an attack. It's always an inward attack, even if you think it's going outward. You have to live now with that little bit of stroke of violence that slipped across your mind. See? So the vigilance works even in your private thoughts. You can have healing with your Holy Spirit, even with your private thoughts. You must choose. You must prefer peace. You must prefer peace. You must admit you must want to see what you have denied because it's the truth. When you swear, you are continuing in this particular form of denial. Now, just to let you off the hook a little bit so you don't think this is too stern, let's go remind ourselves what's on page 311, paragraph 9. Hold your finger here. Let's go get a little relief because it got really serious there for a few minutes. We got
what
little, 311, paragraph 9, just so you don't think that you're going to be held after school or scolded if you swear. You will not be punished. You will only punish yourself further if you swear. You will not be punished by any other power than you. Don't worry about that. Everything else that has power that you would consider equal to you is looking to help you. The Course says that the universe of angels is all leaning in, just waiting for the invitation to bring you back to the love that you yourself are part of. Don't worry that you would ever be punished. No, you punish yourself, and swearing is an example. I'm just throwing out a little practical thing that you can use throughout your day. But no worries. If you do slip and you swear, you'll feel it. If you just take a moment and ask what was that for, you're like, wow, that was just ugly. Where did that come from? See how you're using your mind. Bust your ego. That's what we're doing with A Course in Miracles. Luann, would you read for us this wonderful, I got your mute. Read for us all of paragraph 9 on page 311. What a gift. You know what? Maybe you would read for us 8 and 9.
Okay. Every thought you would keep hidden, thus communication shuts communication off, because you would have it so. It is impossible to recognize perfect communication while breaking communication holds value to you.
See, that's the whole private thoughts trap, you know? If you only understood what you're connected to, you would know you can't have private thoughts. But anyway, continue.
Ask yourself honestly, would I want to have perfect communication? And am I wholly willing to let everything that interferes with it go forever? If the answer is no, then the Holy Spirit readiness to give it to you is not enough to make it yours. For you am...
You are.
Are, thank you. I crossed R off for some reason. For you are not ready to share it with them. And it cannot come into a mind that has decided to oppose it. For the holy instant is given and received with equal willingness, being the acceptance of the single will that governs all thought.
You know, just a little side right there, that little sentence right there. It says that the holy instant is given and received with equal willingness. Equal willingness. You see, because in truth, the holy instant is something that occurs 100% with your cooperation, and you are joining with the all-encompassing power in a holy instant. You're very much more present in a holy instant than you are when you're dreaming of being in a body. So it's an equal willingness. You are hearing your own voice. This Holy Spirit is your own voice waking up. It's not coming from outside you. It is actually you coming forward. That's why this is a clever little sentence here. You know, the ego needs to think that there's a God somewhere else, and then God made the Holy Spirit kind of like a servant to help you, like an angel to come help you. That's kind of way you, it's written, and you can, that's just because you need, you're so separate. You want a Mary Poppins kind of character to help you out. But this is one of the sentences where he says, you know, you will not be saved and you are not lost. It is you who would do the saving, just as it is you who would do the denying. It's wonderful news on how close your Holy Spirit is to you. It is you, the real you coming forth. All that in that, just those few words, the holy instant is given and received with equal willingness. Given, willing to give, willing to receive, equal. See? Okay. Ah, beautiful. Okay, go ahead, Luann. Remember, the reason why we're here is because you might be swearing in the next 24 hours. Something might come up and you might swear and do a little self-attack or attack somebody else. Well, all right.
You deserve that. The necessary condition for the holy instant does not require that you have no thoughts that are not pure. But it does require...
This is the punchline!
That you have none that you would keep.
Bingo! It does require something. Remember I told you about Miracle Principle 7? Miracles are everyone's right. Record scratch. But purification is necessary first. And the purification is that you would keep no attack as valuable. You would keep no hate. No thought of hate as valuable. None that you would keep. And this paves the way for you to let them go as a source of strength. Okay, please continue.
Innocence is not of your making. it is given you the instant you would have it. Atonement would not be if there were no need for it. You will not be able to accept perfect communication as long as you would hide it from yourself.
So maybe next time you swear, you say, oh, that was imperfect communication. Because something happened that caused you to want to swear, or even just the swearing, the attack thoughts came out. Now you have some way to address them. You could say, ooh, that was sloppy. That was imperfect communication. That was an attack thought. And now you're inviting your Holy Spirit to come in and you back off from the energy. This gives you a way to get away from the ego pattern. Please continue.
For what you would hide is hidden from you in your practice. Whoops.
See, hold on. Read that one with the punch in the right spot.
Yeah. For what you would hide is hidden from you.
And you might, he really should have italicized the word you there, the first you also. He's demonstrating the power of your choice and the power of your mind. If you hide it, it's hidden. Remember the equal willingness we read about a moment ago? When the holy instant occurs, it's because you received it, not because solely it was given. Equally, it was given and received. This is a metaphysical truth of your awakening. You are there. You participate. You pave the way. You actually bring the source of light that you experience. Do you see the circle?
Yeah.
Please continue.
What you would hide is hidden from you. In your practice, then, try only to be vigilant against deception and need not
seek.
And seek not to protect the thoughts you would keep to yourself. Let the Holy Spirit's purity shine them away and bring all your awareness to the readiness for purity. He offers you. Thus will he make you ready to acknowledge that you are host to God and hostage to no one and to nothing.
Oh, yeah. Good, good.
And I'm sorry, I think I'm tired.
No problem.
Oh, Andrew. So here it's talking about no private thoughts. So it's, and let the Holy Spirit shine them away. Let the Holy Spirit's purity shine them away. So it's when you offer up whatever thoughts you have, they may not be pure, but you off them up and let the Holy Spirit's purity shine them away?
Yep. Yep, you would not keep them. And you may be so angry or worried or upset that they're sticking with you. So you need to take a moment and offer them to the light. So bring... Yes?
Don't share them with other people.
No, you're probably getting a fight if you do that.
However, if they're in your mind, until you do put them away, other people can feel them. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
In some way, they know.
You will add difficulty to your suffering if you share them with other people, because other people will then have the natural response that other people have to your pain. It's either they recoil in horror, they give you the silent treatment, or they lean in and say, there, poor you. Your suffering is really bad and you should be upset. That's not helpful. There's nothing good about sharing attack thoughts with other people.
No, I was saying something a little different than that.
Andrew, last night, I guess you were present in the meeting when someone... Oh, Sundari.
I think I missed that.
Oh, so at some point, I perceive Sundari taking offense at something somebody else did. That was my perception.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I judged her for it. You know, that she didn't like being interrupted. And I judged her for it. And at the moment, right after the moment that I judged her, I realized that I feel the same way, that I have that same, I take umbrage when people interrupt me. And so after a little while, I shared with Sundari exactly that. I said, I judged you for your communication. And then I saw it was me. And that was an example, I think, of sharing a private thought. And what then followed in me was a feeling of kind of love.
Yes, Don, and that's wonderful. And that's healing. You should always clean up your messes. You should always return to love and share that with other people. Absolutely. But what you originally said was share your swearing, because I was using swearing and angry thoughts.
No, I was expanding into private.
It's private thought. Private thoughts are an ego trap to try to keep them private. It's not helpful. The attack thoughts, they should be translated by your Holy Spirit and then shared, just as you did.
Okay.
Just as you did. Perfect example.
Okay. So that
perfect, Don.
I felt it. Maybe my perception is that a judgment is an attack. Because I was judging her initially. Isn't judgment attack?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I feel as if I gracefully communicated and took ownership, if you will, for the whole process. And what the beautiful thing was is just the opening in my heart.
That sounds great. And it sounds like the perfect way to approach that. Okay. Translate it, take out the anger, take out the judgment, and then do some healing, and then celebrate it together.
Yeah.
By showing the sameness instead of the differences that the ego was showing, you go back to the sameness that says you feel the same way when you're interrupted. You joined. You undid the judgment. I think that's beautiful. I think that's great, Don. And that brings people together. It brings people closer. I dare say you and Sundari would be closer after that interaction rather than further apart. Yeah, that's what makes a special relationship holy, is when you do healing instead of separating further. Good. Beautiful. Thank you for that, Don. That's beautiful.
Welcome.
I love how that unfolded.
Isn't that almost a holy instant when that happens?
Probably you had a miracle, which is a shift in perception about how you really felt. Then you had forgiveness, which is you let go of the ugly thoughts. And then you have a holy instant where the relief comes and you say, there's actually love here. Yes, Sundari.
For me, that was bringing the darkness to the light.
Nice.
And hence releasing the obstacles to love. And it felt that way. I talked about it afterwards. Really saying, for me, that's the whole process David Hoffmeister's group does, is to speak our truth. You know, allow us to have the feelings that we do.
Hiding. No hiding.
And so often, and I said this last night too, but some of you weren't here. So often, what we need to do most is honor our own feelings without attacking another person for the feelings. And yes. I don't know if I did that in my interaction with the person interrupting, but I was stating my feeling I don't guarantee I did this, but with I statements, not going into victimhood and blaming, holding the other person's innocence in my own and not expecting them to change. And then I can just say, that feels bad to me. I want to continue talking. I want to finish what I have to say. I was called on right now.
Yeah, without the attack or defense, you know, then you can communicate. You can actually communicate. You know, perfect communication is the phrase.
And for me, that is sacred relationship. is allowing ourselves to have the triggers we do, but learning how to express them without attack, but still honoring ourselves.
Yes. So a little bit of homework for everybody. Over this next week, if you swear under your breath or out loud, take a look at it. Don't let it just happen. Oh, everybody swears. You know what? Why don't you let your Holy Spirit come in and see if you can get a little miracle going on. Catch your ego as it tries to slip in a little attack thought here and there throughout your week. This is a little exercise that you can do that I think just might move you a little bit more towards your own personal empowerment and starve your ego of one of its little indulgences that it has perhaps many years been sneaking into your life. Fewer attack thoughts, more loving thoughts, more compassion, more peace comes into your life. Thank you, everybody, for studying A Course in Miracles with me. We have so much more to do on this page. We'll do it again next week.